الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, my brothers and sisters, all of us have faced exams in this world. Exams in school and college, exams of various kinds in business and our careers. The key thing about all these exams is that when we are preparing for them, the most important sign of our seriousness is that we change our priorities. If someone invites us to a party, we refuse to go because we are preparing for an exam. If a dear friend invites us to his wedding, we ask to be excused because we are preparing for this important exam. Even if we plan to get married ourselves, we postpone that wedding until after the exam, saying that we don't want anything to distract us from our preparation for the exam. The reordering of priorities is the single most important and credible sign of our seriousness about the exam, which tells us and the world how important we consider that exam to be. I want you to please reflect on two things with reference to the exams of the world. We know when we have to take them, and which is that we know the date and the time of the exam, and we can take them again if we fail. There are two things with reference to the exams of the world which I want you to reflect on. The first one is that we know when we have to take those exams, we know the date and time, and we can take that exam again if we fail. Now, keeping these parameters in mind, let me ask myself and you, There is an exam that we all know that we will have to take. We have no choice in the matter, but this exam has two parameters that distinguish it from worldly exams. Its date and time is unknown, and it can't be taken again. Its date and time is unknown, and it can't be taken again. This is the final exam. If you pass it, then there is eternal success. And if you fail, you are sunk, permanently sunk. The question is that if we look into our lives, applying the parameter that when we are faced with critical exams, we change our priorities, what changes in priorities are we likely to see when we think about this particular exam? And if we don't see any changes in our priorities, then we have to ask ourselves a simple question. Do we really have faith? My brothers and sisters, it was narrated that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when any one of you dies, he is shown his place morning and evening. If he is one of the people of Jannah, then he is one of the people of Jannah. And if he is one of the people of Jahannam, then he is one of the people of Jahannam. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. It was narrated from Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha that a Jewish woman came to her and mentioned the torment of the grave and said to her, may Allah protect you from the torment of the grave. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the torment of the grave, and he said, yes, the torment of the grave, yes, the torment of the grave, yes, the torment of the grave. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said, I never saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray any salah after that, but he sought refuge with Allah from the torment of the grave. And this is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim as well. It was narrated that Hani radiallahu anhu, the freed slave of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he said when Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu stood beside a grave, he would weep until his beard became wet. It was said to him, you remember Jannah and Jahannam and you do not weep, but you weep for this. He said, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the grave is the first stage of the hereafter. Whoever is delivered from it, what comes after it is easier. And if he is not delivered from it, then what comes after it is harder. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have never seen any scene more horrible than the scene of punishment in the grave. He said, I have never seen any horrible scene, but the grave is more horrible. And this is a hadith from Kitab al-Zuhd in Sunan Ibn Majah. My brothers and sisters, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the conditions of the grave and said when the deceased, when the person who died, and in another narration he said, when one of you is buried, two angels, black and blue-eyed, come to him. One of them is called Al-Munkar and the other An-Nakir. They say, what did you used to say about this man? So the person who died says what he was saying before his death. He says, he is Allah's slave and his messenger. I testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. So they say, we knew that you would say this. Then his grave is expanded to 70 by 70 cubits, and it is illuminated for him. And it is said to him, sleep. So he replies and says, can I return to my family to inform them? They say, sleep as a newly wed whom none awakens but the dearest of his family, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects him from his resting place. On the other hand, if he was a hypocrite, he would say, I heard people saying something, so I said the same thing. I do not know. So they said, we knew you would say that. So the earth is told, constrict him. So it constricts around him, squeezing his ribs together. And he continues being punished like that until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects him from his resting place. And this is in the Kitab al-Janaiz in Jami' al-Tirmidhi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interlaced the fingers of one of his blessed hands into the fingers of the other when he mentioned the constricting of the earth and the ribs being squeezed together, where the ribs will be squeezed together so hard that they will go into one another. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this punishment of the qabr, inshallah. In another hadith narrated by Al-Bara bin Azib, he said, we went out with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accompanying the janazah of a man of the Ansar. When we reached his grave, the place of burial, the grave had not yet been dug. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down, and we also sat down around him as if birds were over our heads. See the narration, how he describes the adab of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the sahaba sat around him absolutely still without even moving. Al-Bara bin Adib radiallahu anhu continues, and he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in his hand a stick with which he was scratching the ground. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then raised his head and said, seek refuge with Allah from the punishment in the qabr. And he said it twice or thrice. The version of Jabir radiallahu anhu adds here, where he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, meaning the person who died, hears the beat of their sandals. He hears the sound of their footsteps when they return. And at that moment he is asked, O so and so, who is your Rabb? What is your religion? And who is your prophet? The version of Hannad radiallahu anhu says, two angels will come to him, make him sit up and ask him, who is your Rabb? He will reply, my Rabb is Allah. They will ask him, what is your religion? He will reply, my religion is Islam. They will ask him, what is your opinion about the man who was sent on a mission among you? He will reply, he is the messenger of Allah. They will ask, who made you aware of this? How do you know this? And he will reply, I read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, believed in it, and considered it to be true, which is verified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, Allah's book, believed in it and considered it to be true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah establishes those who believe in the word that stands firm in the dunya wal akhirah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this the description of what will happen to us when we are in our graves, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes us and gives us the strength to stand firm in the face of these questions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even described how these questions will be asked, and he said that Munkir and Nakir will not ask these questions in a polite and nice manner. They will shout and they will ask these questions in a threatening manner. Imagine you're lying in the grave, you have left your whole family, everybody, and you're already in a state where you are in a state of grief, and then somebody comes and threatens you and makes you sit up and ask you these questions. Without the help of Allah, where will we be? My brothers and sisters, to continue with that hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then a crier will call from Jannah, my slave has spoken the truth, so spread a bed for him from Jannah, clothe him from Jannah, and open a door for him into Jannah. So some of its air and perfume will come to him, and a space will be made for him as far as the eye can see. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned, the death of the one who did not believe. And he said that his spirit will be restored to his body. Two angels will come to him and make him sit up, and they will ask him, who is your Rabb? He will reply, alas, alas, I do not know. They will ask him, what is your religion? And he will reply, alas, alas, I do not know. And they will ask, who was the man who was sent on a mission among you? And he will reply, alas, alas, I do not know. And then a crier will call from on high, and he will say, he has lied. So spread a bed for him from Jahannam, clothe him from Jahannam, and open for him a door into Jahannam. And then some of its heat and pestilential wind will come to him, and his grave will be compressed so that his ribs will be crushed together. The version of Jabir radiallahu anhu adds one who is blind and dumb. And by this is meant an angel. One who is blind and dumb will then be placed in charge of him, having a sledgehammer such that if a mountain was struck with it, it would become dust. This angel will then give him a blow with it, which will be heard by everything between the east and the west, except by men and jinn, and he will become dust. And then his spirit will be restored to him, and this will continue until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from the adab of the qabr. And this hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawood in Kitab al-Sunnah, and it has been graded sahih by Shaykh al-Albani. These ayat and hadith indicate that the torment of the grave is real and that it is ongoing in the case of some people. So it is these questions for which we have to prepare, my brothers and sisters, questions which will decide what happens to us for the rest of eternity. Questions which we can't answer except by believing in Allah and living Islam. Questions which we can only answer if we practice those things, not by memorizing the answers. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the only intelligent thing to do, if we truly believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, and if we truly believe that we are going to die, is to prepare for that day when we will be called to Allah. I ask Allah to make it the best day of our lives. But I remind you that you and I need to help the dua by making changes in our lives and making changes in our behavior and lifestyle. Dua plus dawa is the way of Islam. And that's the only logical and intelligent thing to do. So first the questions. In the wording of the hadith, I have extracted from the long hadith which I mentioned earlier. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, وَيَأْتِيهِ مَلَكَانِ فَيُجْلِسَانِهِ فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ مَنْ رَبُّكْ فَيَقُولْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ مَا دِينُكْ فَيَقُولْ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ مَا هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ قَالَ فَيَقُولْ هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم فيقولان وما يدريك فيقول قرأت كتاب الله فآمنت به وصدقت Two angels will come to him. They will make him sit up and ask him, who is your Rabb? He will reply, my Rabb is Allah, Jalla Jalalu. They will ask him, what is your religion? He will reply, my religion is Islam. They will ask him, what is your opinion about the man who was sent on a mission among you? He will reply, he is the messenger of Allah. They will ask, who made you aware of this? How do you know this? He will reply, I read Allah's book, believed in it, and considered it to be true, which is verified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. Allah's book, believed in it, and considered it true. So there are four questions, the first of which is, who is your Rabb? We will be able to give the right answer, my Rabb is Allah, only if we lived by that creed. Now, what is the meaning of living by the creed of Rabbi Allah? It means seven things. To worship nobody but Allah. To ask for help from nobody but Allah. To fulfill all fara'id and to do more by means of nawafil. To seek to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always and never to displease Him. Never to displease Allah while trying to please anyone other than Him. Never to do what He, Jalla Jalaluhu, prohibited. Never to indulge in haram. And seven, to fulfill all our obligations and duties to Him, which are His rights, huququllah. Let us examine our lives and see how many of these we are doing right now. And then let us make a list of those things which we need to correct, because without that we will not even get past first base, the first question of the grave. My brothers and sisters, please notice the grammar of the question. Man Rabbuk, singular, first person. The questioner is not asking for information. He is asking about a relationship. My relationship with my Rabb. Try to wrap your mind around this. The first question in the grave is about ta'alluq ma'allah. And the answer is also given in the same form. Rabbi Allah. My Rabb. Not our Rabb. Not Rabbun Allah. Not the Rabb of all that exists. Not Rabbul Alameen. All of which is also true, but that is not what we are being asked. And that is not the right answer. The right answer is Rabbi Allah. My Rabb is Allah. Again, an answer which is not giving information, but which is speaking about a relationship. The question is about a relationship, and the answer is about that relationship. So how will we answer about a relationship that doesn't exist? How will we answer about a relationship we don't care about? If we care about it, what is the proof? And if we don't like the current situation, what is the plan to change it before we have to answer the question, which will have rather permanent consequences? Let me take you to another ayah of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو معكم أينما كنتم والله بما تعملون بصير. In Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He, Allah Jalla Jalalhu, is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then made istawa, rose over his arsh in a manner that suits his majesty and grace. He, Jalla Jalaluhu, knows what goes into the earth and what comes forth from it, what descends from the heavens and what ascends to the heavens. And He is with you wherever you may be. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And Allah is the all-seer of what you do. My brothers and sisters, first of all, I invite you to reflect on the glory and majesty of the address. And then notice that the one to whom all this glory and majesty belongs is saying that He is with us, not nearby, but with, wherever we may be, and that He sees all that we do. Let us reflect on what this does to us. Let us reflect on what this does to us. Let us not fall into the trap of trying to intellectually analyze the meaning of وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. Does it mean that he is with us بِذَاتِهِ, or is he with us بِعِلْمِهِ? Is he with us in his self, or is he with us by means of his knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best the way that he is with us, and that is sufficient for us. For us, it is not necessary to conjecture and reflect on matters which Allah Jalla Jalaluhu decided not to clarify for us. If it was necessary for us to know the exact way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have explained that. His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have explained that. But that is not what they did. And therefore, we are content by understanding the meaning of with in whatever way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to be with us. The important thing to ask is, what does this knowledge, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ, what does this knowledge, he is with you wherever you might be, what does this knowledge, what does this word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to us? Let us look inside our hearts. Now, what should it do? What it should do to anyone who reflects is two things. Number one, it should produce a huge feeling of contentment and thankfulness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me wherever I am. And it should take away all my anxieties and fears. After all, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am with you, as he did here, it means I will help you. What else, in your view and in your understanding, what else does being with mean? Does it mean that Allah is merely a spectator? I am with you watching you die. I am with you watching you self-destruct. I am with you watching you in a state where you are dying of starvation, or you are being continuously unsuccessful in things, where you are being hit and oppressed. No. The one who has the sense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being with him means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being with means to help, to stand by, to protect, to sustain, and to provide. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am with you. So what should this do? This knowledge should produce a huge feeling of contentment and thankfulness in our hearts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. The second big benefit and the second thing that this knowledge should do to us, should do to the one who reflects, is that it should make me feel ashamed and afraid to commit any sin, to commit any disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I know that he is with me, not near me, but with me, and is seeing all that I am doing real time. Especially this should happen when I claim to believe that one day I will stand before him and be called to account. Be called to account by the one who was with me and was watching. And I'm being called to account by the same one. How am I going to escape that? My brothers and sisters, but the big question to myself is, am I conscious of this presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with me wherever I may be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he is with me, but am I aware of this? This is the sense of awareness which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in Hadith Jibreel when he defined al-ihsan, where he said, "Anta abdullaha ka annaka tara, fa illam takun tara fa innahu yarak." Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see him, and if you cannot see him, to know that he sees you. That definition describes the result of being aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me wherever I am. As always, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example of the salah, as it is the head of the matter and representative of the life of the Muslim. But as we know, the example and illustration extends to every aspect of the life of the Muslim. Salah represents the Muslim's life, his attitude, his connection with his Rabb, and his attitude towards the world and its demands, especially when they conflict with his Rabb and what he ordered. Its salah begins with takbir at-tahrima, which shuts out the whole world, which makes the whole world haram on the Muslim, because he is dedicating himself and he is in front of his Rabb. When the Muslim dedicates himself to obeying his Rabb, everything else becomes secondary, is thrown behind the back. The salah, it contains glorifying his Rabb, reaffirming his relationship with his Rabb as the only one worthy of worship and of being asked for help. It contains accepting and remembering the slaves returned to his Rabb on the Day of Judgment. It contains dua for guidance, tawbah from all disobedience and misguidance, and submitting to him, Jalla Jalaluhu, completely in sujood. Salah ends with salam, sending peace and safety on the entire world. That is the situation of the one who is aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him 24/7. Imagine the situation of the Muslim who dedicates himself to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question or resistance, is aware of his presence at all times, and who is a source of peace and safety for the whole world. How would such a person be viewed by the world? This is what the Muslims can be. This is what the Muslims should be. So how can we change our current situation and build a relationship with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu such that we are conscious of His being with us always, wherever we may be? My brothers and sisters, there are three things to do to build a relationship with Allah, where not only will we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even more importantly, Allah will love us, inshaAllah. These three things, first of them is shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And three is ittiba of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to imitate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our lives, in every action that we do. So let us see the first of these. Shukr is a factor of awareness. Shukr is a factor of awareness. You have to be aware of what you received, and you have to be aware of the one you received it from. Only then can you make shukr. When you are aware of what you received, you appreciate that thing which you received. And when you are aware of the one who gave it to you, you can go back to him and thank him for giving that to you. So ask yourself, what have I received from Allah? Seriously, list down things. I ask you to list down things one by one, and then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those things. My brothers and sisters, look around you at others, human beings like us, people like us, but who live lives straight out of our nightmares, yet they smile. Go and live for one night in one of their huts on the edge of an open sewer, and try to sleep and dream to the tune of buzzing mosquitoes while breathing in the stench of fresh sewage. Do it in summer, it's more fun. Also, no mosquito cream, no deodorants, nothing. They don't use it, and you are trying to live their life, remember? Not day after day. I'm not asking you to do that day after day. I don't think you will last. Not day after day without a single ray of hope, but just for one night. Not even 24 hours, just for 8 hours. So what if you get sick? Well, get sick, because you still have money to go to the best hospitals. They don't. Make shukr, my brothers and sisters, make shukr. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stop moaning and groaning and whining about your ridiculous problems. Remember that your problems are other people's dreams, just like their realities are your nightmares. Anyone up for an exchange? My brothers and sisters, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember Allah and thank Allah, for there is nobody who deserves this more than Him. Make zikr, bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your conversations at home and in your gatherings. Be concerned about and show concern for what pleases Allah and what doesn't. Ask this question often. Does this please Allah? What will Allah say about this? Make a list of all that you have received from Allah and then thank Him for it one by one in tahajjud. Make tahajjud fard on yourself and use it to thank Allah. Then see the barakah of His noor in your lives, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about dhikr,
فاذكروني اذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah said, therefore remember me, I will remember you, and be grateful to me and never be ungrateful to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in a hadith Qudsi, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, quoted from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am as my slave thinks I am. Ana inda zanni abdi bih. I am with him when he mentions me. If he mentions me to himself, I mention him to myself. And if he mentions me in an assembly, I mention him in an assembly better than his assembly. Now, brothers and sisters, what is the majesty of this address? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he mentions me in an assembly, I mention him in an assembly better than his assembly. What majesty of address! Who can say this except Rabbul Alameen? My brothers and sisters, I recall a friend of mine in America who, once I was in Jamaat in New York, and I met this man. He was a Caucasian American, a white American with long blonde hair. And I asked him how he, I like to hear, listen to stories of how people come to Islam. So I asked him, I said, how did you come to Islam? And he told me that he lived in, used to live in Maine. And he was studying to be a priest, a Christian priest in a seminary. And he said, they gave me the Quran, they gave me a translation of the Quran, and my assignment was to find faults in it. So he said, one night I was sitting and reading the Quran and something struck me. And he said, what struck me was the majesty of the address. And he said, I said to myself, nobody but God can speak like this. He said, nobody but Allah can speak like this. This is not the word of any man. He said, this is the word of the creator of all mankind and the creator of all that exists. Subhanallah, he said the words which the Sahaba said to them, to themselves whenever they heard the kalam of Allah. But this man was reading a translation. Despite reading a translation, the majesty and the command of the address hit him. So I asked him, what did you do? He said, it was the middle of the night. I wanted to become a Muslim right then. I didn't know how. And I said, in Maine, where I live, there is no masjid, there is nothing. I said, what did you do? He said, I got into my car and I drove. I said, where did you go? He said, I went all the way to Boston. And he said, I reached Boston in the morning and I went to a masjid and I accepted Islam. Ajib, what struck the man was the majesty, the command of the address. What majesty of address! Allah says, he mentions me to himself, I mention him to myself. And if he mentions me in an assembly, I mention him in an assembly better than his assembly. And then he continues, and Jalla Jalalu, and he said, if he draws near me by an arm's length, I draw near him by a fathom's length. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him at speed. What majesty of address! What a kalam from our Rabb, Al Hayyul Qayyum. And what is that company that he mentioned in this hadith Qudsi? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his kalam, وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِّينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْأَرْشِ يُصَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. In Surah Az-Zumar, Allah said, and you will see the angels surrounding the throne of Allah from all around, making tawaf of the throne, glorifying the praises of their Rabb. And they and all the creatures will be judged with truth, and it will be said, all praise and thanks be to Allah, the Rabb of the Alameen. And this is a description of what we will see, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show this glorious image and show this glorious reality to us from the protection of His mercy, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, just reflect on this one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning your name on His arsh. We are standing here, we are sitting here in this Jum'ah, we are making the zikr of Allah, we are mentioning Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ that you mention me and I will mention you. You make my zikr and I will remember you and I will mention you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith Qudsi said, you mention me in your gathering and I will mention you in a gathering which is better than yours. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning us by name. What does it make you feel, my brothers and sisters? What does it make you feel? Wallahi, our hearts are dead. Go inside your heart and look. What do you see? Is there some light in that darkness? And what will make us open that heart? What will make us illuminate that heart? My brothers and sisters, let us stop living mechanical lives where even our ibadah is mechanical and cultural. We worship because it is supposed to be done, not because it is something we love to do and look forward to. If we can't even connect to Allah when we are worshipping Him, what hope is there for us when we are engaged in other matters? That is tragic enough for those who don't know Allah, but how much more tragic for those who know Him and worship Him? My brothers and sisters, let us change. Let us change now. I ask you, are you ready?